petition. Elihu Bronson.
Approach the, speaking of the microphone.
Okay. Elihu Bronson, representing the petitioners. The Duncan Point Homeowners Association, Lot Association, and Mrs. Bronson, Ms. Bracken, Ms. Davis, and Ms. Hankins. Just in getting started, there was a motion that I'd filed to ask that the supplemental material be added to the record. I was wondering. Sir?
We haven't acted on that.
All right. Okay. This case is one that involves a piece of property known as Duncan Point Resort, which is located in the Ozarks of Missouri. The reason this case is important is because of its historic nature. There are various aspects that led to the development of this resort that the residents, citizens of Duncan Point, still consider important. These aspects developed as a result of the era in which the Duncan Point development came about. The developer, Mr. Ralph Duncan, wanted to have total access to the shoreline for all of those people who participated and recreated within the Duncan Point area. This was the only area that history has shown us that was available to people of color. And so Mr. Duncan wanted this area developed in such a way that people of color could recreate there without the indignities of segregation and various other things that were brought upon them. Things were relatively calm until about 2001, when a developer came in and bought 38 acres out of the 300-acre estate which was on that peninsula. That developer then began to develop that area. And in doing so, it's our contention that he was blocking the access to the shoreline of that particular area, which is called Pebble Creek. As a result, there was a seawall which was approved, which we contend blocked access to the shoreline. The government, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, was appealed to, and the roughly 2,200 feet seawall was stopped at that point, but there was 300 feet still in place. And subsequently, the government came out and visited the site and looked the site over. And as a result of it, in 2004, in September, they issued what we now consider a letter order directing various mitigations to occur to account for this access that had been blocked and also to account for a violation, they said that there were two violations. Article 41 of the contract with the licensee, Ameron, and the other violation was the violation that the seawall blocked access to the shoreline. Now, it's contention that at the point that the order was issued, the residents did not realize at that point that they were involved in what was later described as a quasi-judicial action. And in October, after that order was issued, they filed a complaint or an opposition to the order. And at that time, they asked for a fair hearing. The government has contended that there was no request for a rehearing. Now, it's our contention that there was, at that point, there was it was not necessary that one actually state the artful words, "We request a rehearing." But at the time, they did request a fair hearing. Now, this is what we contend is the beginning of the process, beginning of the problem of the lack of due process. It the most basic elements of due process is, as we understand it, is to have notice and have an opportunity to be heard. Now, throughout the process in which Federal Energy Regulatory Commission was involved in this particular action, there was communications between the developer and the licensee, but the homeowners or the association did not have access to that kind of communication, and they were continually subjected to reacting to orders that had been submitted with the consultation of the developer, the government, and the licensee. If there had been consultation, it is the contention of the homeowners that we probably would not be here today. Now, the other part of the assertion is that the homeowners were not allowed equal treatment under the law, which is allowed for all citizens of this country to actively participate in things that will be impacting directly their lives. It is at this point the problem of which the government contends that it mitigated, it still exists. The development and the citizens do not have access to the entire shoreline of that portion of the development that goes through the Pebble Creek area. As a result of them coming in, there were no trespassing signs put up. There was an incident where the police were called in because these people sought to exercise their right to be on the shoreline, and actually in the company of a representative from the licensee, the sheriff's department was called in, and a report was filed that at least three of the members, in fact, three of them, the petitioners, there was a complaint lodged. Now, this situation with this new development coming into this historic area has caused tensions of which the residents sought the help from the Justice Department, and certainly the tension exists at this point. And the only thing that was started this whole thing was the fact that the residents wanted to continue to enjoy the opportunities of which they had enjoyed for over 50 years in that particular development. There was no effort on the part of the residents to keep anyone out. In fact, when Mr. Duncan set this up, it was one of the only places that we knew of that actually was integrated, because he had set up a barbecue operation and a number of other things was going on there that allowed people from the surrounding communities to come in and recreate in that area. So to have this blocked access to the shoreline destroys one of those historic aspects to this development. It also...
Well, it's not completely blocked. You're saying it's not completely open.
It's,
in other words, if I understand it correctly, pursuant to the license and the 300 feet, we're only talking about the 300 feet.
No, sir, we're talking about more than the 300 feet.
What is it in the record that indicates that something that FERC has to do with, that the wall, the seawall was only put up on 300 out of 2,200 feet, right?
That's correct, sir. Now,
there's been a cut through on the seawall in a couple of places as a result of these proceedings, right?
Well, the seawall exists. There was a walk placed along the outer edge of the seawall, which was to allow open access. But there have been additional grants of building along the length of the...
But not pursuant to anything that FERC has done, right?
Yes, the FERC has allowed or agreed to allow additional building along the shoreline on project boundaries. When the developer...
What does FERC have to do with, maybe I'm missing the record, what does FERC have to do with building?
Well, FERC has jurisdiction over project boundaries. That strip of land along the shoreline, all the way around the peninsula of Duncan Point. And as I said earlier, the Pebble Creek development bought a narrow 38-acre strip along the shoreline.
Right.
Okay? So along that 38-acre strip on the shoreline, there has been additional building of properties, and their decks and their boat docks have occupied part of the project boundaries. And that, in addition to the 300 feet where the paved walkway was supposed to be, mm-hmm. Those properties are now on those boundaries, and there's not clear access through that area as there was for over 50 years.
Is it blocked access?
It is blocked access.
In other words, no one can use the remainder of the 2,200?
Well, property owners have their decks and other things there,
right.
And because of the attitude of the newly arriving citizens within the Pebble Creek area, as I said earlier, Sheriff's Department notified threats.
No, I mean, I understand all of that, and I can certainly understand the fight. The question is the nature of the fight and who has real control over it. I don't doubt that there, once waterfront property is being taken over, there's going to be a battle that ensues. There's no doubt. The problem for us is whether or not we're talking about an issue that FERC has any authority to address beyond the licensing proceeding, which you did participate in. So there's an ongoing problem. There's no doubt about that. But for example, a historical society, that's not FERC. FERC did what it had to do there. They didn't get a response. There's some state issues. FERC doesn't control them. There may be building zoning issues. Those are not FERC's issues. So I'm trying to figure out what is it that FERC has control of that would be redressable in this court. That's what's not clear. There's no doubt that there are issues. There are no doubt there are serious issues. But it isn't clear that FERC has the authority to do anything about them. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Okay. FERC has regulatory control over the licensee, which is Ameron. Ameron has control over the strip of land referred to as project boundaries. And in order to build habitable structures on project boundaries, FERC has to get permission from the commission in order to carry that out, because there is clearly a prohibition against building habitable structures, decks, houses, anything on project boundaries without getting permission from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. That's our position. And FERC has granted a number of instances where people have, within that subdivision, have asked for dispensation to allow building to go on in that area, and FERC has granted that. But in the words of the government, these violations or these intrusions, a violation of Article 41 of the agreement between the licensee and FERC, that violation and the public access violation were minor violations, and the utility itself has said that these don't even rise to the level of being concerned of. But as I said, there are these historic aspects that led to the development of this resort that the citizens are very, very concerned about, because it destroys...
The historical thing, now, FERC did what it was supposed to do with respect to the historical, or the agency that handles that, and they made their file, and they got no response. And the law says that if they get no response after a certain period of time...
Well, we...
In other words, what's the claim that's redressable here? They did what they were supposed to do with respect to the historical...
They approached the agency.
Right.
They did not, in our opinion, provide the sufficient information to the agency that they were supposed to. And it strikes us that the agency, the Historic Preservation Agency, was frustrated by the information that they got and did not respond. We contend that if...
They asked for additional information. The Advisory Council asked for additional information. FERC sent them a letter on January 6th, and then there was no further correspondence. Now, is there some evidence that they were frustrated by what FERC did?
Well, there's some evidence that there were a number of letters that were sent.
I'm looking at it, and FERC responded to a request for additional information. Then nothing happened.
Right.
And the law says that if the Advisory Council doesn't respond, that's over.
Well,
what is it? My problem is, what is it that FERC is supposed to do? It's not about whether there are some injustices here. There are, arguably, from your vantage point, no doubt. When properties are altered and you don't have the same access, people feel, I can totally understand that. The question is, what is it precisely that FERC can do to redress anything? On the historical, on the Advisory Council, I don't know what else they're supposed to do in light of what has transpired.
We would contend that they should have at least consulted with the homeowners on those aspects, historical aspects, that the homeowners considered important. And it strikes the association or the homeowners and the petitioners that FERC, once they did not get a response from the historic preservation people, that a decision was made by their inaction. When there were issues, historical issues, that were not discussed with the residents who were there and had an opportunity to plead their case with FERC. There was, one of the allegations is, there was no consultation amongst back and forth. Now, there was a lot of communications, complaints from the residents to FERC, but the consultation existed between the developer, the licensee, and the government, not with the people who were complaining. They were merely put in a position of continually complaining. That's why...
Is there something in the regulations or statute that requires that type of consultation?
Well,
maybe good manners requires it, but is there anything in the law that requires that? The regulations create a process here, right? And the process is that when FERC makes a decision that may adversely affect someone, that party has a right to bring that to the attention of FERC. You did that here, right?
That's correct.
FERC responded to that, right?
That's correct.
So what in the regulations, what in the statute says that FERC had to consult with folks before they... Is there anything in the regulations that says
The regulation says that it has to consult with various federal, state agencies as issues arise, and I think also is more specific in dealing with Indian tribes. But one, in looking at those requirements, the citizens felt that there was a story as it relates to this historical business that at least there should be an interaction with them, just based on the spirit of the requirements in other regulations as it relates to...
Based on the spirit of it, but there's nothing that says specifically that...
I was not able to specifically put my finger on something that says that the government had to specifically go through consultation. Mm-hmm. Now, there are many instances where this sort of thing has occurred. But in the instance of Duncan Point, in fact, one of the contentions is that the government came out initially, made a decision, And as it relates to all of the evidence that was presented by the homeowners, and there's a bit, there's a mountain of it, that evidence was ignored. And
sure. And then when that happens, you bring it here and you argue that their actions were arbitrary and capricious. That's the process.
Well,
right.
You did not challenge the license renewal. You participated in that procedure. There was no petition for rehearing or any challenge taken from that.
I believe so.
You just got finished saying that at the beginning. That's right. I'm not trying to sneak anything up on
okay.
you. Filed a complaint was filed afterwards.
Right.
But in the licensing procedure, which gives rise to all these concerns, you're saying in effect, I guess you're arguing in effect that the licensing deal was not what it ought to have been. It should have included, for example, consultation. It should not have allowed whatever buildings you're talking about, et cetera. But there wasn't any challenge to the license renewal.
At that time period, the license was being reconsidered.
Right, and then it was approved, and there was no and you participated in that. There was
right.
no challenge to that.
Well, there were a number of complaints raised.
I know, but then it ended.
Right.
And then the way you challenge it is a petition for rehearing, and then you can seek review if you think it's wrong. That was not done. So now you're in compliance, and the compliance rules are different. Your complaint really was going to compliance. You did not challenge the license, as I understand this record. The license renewal was granted with the terms that are specified, what could be allowed and what could not be allowed in the mitigation, et cetera. All of that was done. You were involved in all of that. There was no petition for rehearing, and there was no review of that sought.
But it was the understanding of the petitioners, or our understanding, that prior to, there was a license in place, and there was an extension to that license.
Talking about the renewal. The renewal
right.
was granted with terms. And you were aware of that process. You participated in that process.
Right.
You did not take issue with that. There was no challenge to that.
But there was a continuing, ongoing interaction.
I understand. I totally understand what you're saying. What I'm trying to understand is, and what I'm trying to explain is,
okay.
you're getting trapped in a legal bind here. And you essentially walked away from the place where there was a potential challenge to the terms of the license, if that's really what bothered you, because you participated in it. You didn't file a petition for rehearing, so it was done. Now we're in the set of the rules that control compliance, and FERC has a rule which says, unless there's a major change, and one of your arguments is there was a major change, unless there's a major change, they're not going to allow everybody to consult and participate in that. That's just a legal rule. And the same thing with the Historical Society. If the 15 days you don't get anything, that's the end of it. That's the problem we're looking at here. And in some of these issues look like Corps of Engineer problems. They're not FERC problems. And there may be some state law challenges.
Certainly there were challenges to state laws and Corps of Engineers. But
those are not FERC issues.
Right. One of the things we felt was that because of the cumbersome process of back and forth, we asked for an ALJ proceeding to allow for the merits to be presented to a
yeah on your complaint
on our complaint
on the compliance board and
right.
FERC can I mean the rules unfortunately the rules are pretty clear that unless there are major facts in dispute, it is not a matter of just I want to consult and so you have a right to consult, or I want an ALJ and you get one.
Yeah.
So you're way over your time.
All right, sir.
I'll give you some time for rebuttal.
Okay.
May it please the court. Excuse me. There are really only two issues here. It was the seawall and the discharge pipe. The commission reasonably exercised its discretion under the license to make sure any problems arising from those two structures were remedied. As far as the seawall goes, we stopped the construction at 300 feet. We then required that the licensee put a walkway adjacent to the seawall. We required two public access points around Pebble Creek. So there was there's improved access over the former public access because of the walkway and the public access points than there was before.
In whose view?
I think objectively, yeah, Your Honor, there's,
well,
it used to be.
I used to be able to walk in at through 300, any point at 300 feet, and now I have to use either end. Why would I perceive that as better?
Well, the actual shoreline is when it's at, when the lake's at high level, mm-hmm. is branches and trees. It's not an easy walk.
Right.
Okay, now at least the 300 feet is an easy walk.
Wait a minute. It's only part of, there are only two access points off the 300 feet, whereas
you can,
previously
well, you could
have gone in, except at high tide, you could have gone in anytime.
Well,
anywhere, right? Now you can't go in anywhere. That's part of the reason for it blocked the rest of the building, because it changes access.
Well, yes, that's true.
There isn't any question about it.
That's true.
That's not an issue.
That's not an issue.
The question is whether or not the mitigation is enough. There's no doubt. If you're the property owner, come on. You're the property owner. You don't want people putting up walls that prevent you from getting to water you used to be able to get to.
Okay. Well, my point was I wasn't sure they could actually get to it because of the lay of the land next to the lake. But the main point is FERC reasonably took remedial measures to make sure there was still access, which is what we're concerned about, public access, and to make sure there was a walkway so there wasn't any access blocked by this 300-foot seawall. 3 foot high, 300 feet long seawall.
So what about the additional building that went on pursuant to the license? I mean, that's what we're really focusing on, right?
Your Honor, there are orders about the alleged additional building issued in 2007. One of them is at 119 FERC 61073. Those have not been appealed to this court. Those are way after this. In other words, there's a continuing dispute between the Duncan's Point residents
right.
and the Pebble Creek residents. And again, as Your Honor pointed out, you know, we don't take a position on that. We certainly understand the concerns of the Duncan's Point residents.
What is the challenge? So here's my picture of it. So you have the license on the seawall and the piping in, and they didn't petition for rehearing. They participated in that. You have a license which allows whatever it allows, and then apparently some more building is being done under that renewed license.
And there were complaints about that,
right.
and those were decided by the commission, and those have not been brought to court, at least at this point. I think one's still under advisement. They're not in this case. This case is strictly about the seawall.
There are additional proceedings involving the additional
on the
building.
Compliance. Yes, there are.
On the compliance, all right.
And those can be brought to the court's attention when the commission finally resolves them.
Are they on a complaint procedure?
They're on a compliance procedure.
I mean a compliance procedure.
Yes.
Complaints with respect to compliance.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And
so those matters are not an issue.
No. And in fact, the case I cited, because of the concerns about Duncan's Point and the concerns the residents have raised vis-a-vis the Pebble Creek development, it was public, even though the regulations did not require public notice, these compliance matters have been publicly noticed, so the Duncan's Point people definitely can participate, and they have no reason to say they're left out of the process. So the commission has leaned over backwards on that point.
Well, the main thing I'm concerned about is that the remaining issues with respect to beyond the 300 feet.
Not here.
Line,
those
are in contest now.
Yes.
Okay.
So
what about historical, the advisory council?
Well, but as you pointed out, Your Honor, the commission did what it was supposed to do under the statute. I want to emphasize that the commission staff made initial finding that we're not talking about the whole Pebble Creek development. We're talking about one discharge pipe and one 300-foot seawall. And there was no indication, based on our staff's evaluation, that those two things would adversely affect the historic fabric of Pebble Creek, Duncan's Point.
So the advisory council has not yet been asked about the remainder of the 2,200 feet and anything that's going on there?
There's no...
There's a shoreline.
There's no 2,200 feet being built. The seawall has been stopped. There's been no further building on it. But the arguments now
are... Well, here's my question. The advisory council has yet to be queried about the remaining complaints that might affect the historic...
I'm not familiar with the record of that. The only two things...
Nothing in your record. In other words, there's no disposition on those issues yet.
Right. They might have been consulted. I don't know. That's before the commission in this other proceeding. But as far as the seawall and the discharge pipe are concerned, yes, the staff looked at it. The staff said didn't look like there's any adverse effect. The staff notified the proper authorities and did not get any objections. It got a response and asked, more information was requested, and we gave more information. We did what we were supposed to do under the National Historic Preservation Act.
Were the petitioners aware of that?
They're copied on the letter.
Did they engage with the advisory council during that process, or you don't know?
I don't know.
Just asking.
No, I don't know. I'm pretty sure the record indicates they talked to the advisory council and the state historic preservation people.
Now, the question as to whether or not the decision to tear it down or mitigate, is that before us?
Yes.
Okay. That's before us pursuant to the complaint?
Yes.
Not pursuant to the license? The license.
Well, the complaint is that the license was not followed.
Right.
Right.
That's
so
another way.
But the issue was raised.
Okay.
And our point there is that the commission has a wide range of remedial discretion, that we stopped the wall at 300 feet, that we allowed the public access points and the walkway. So there was the problem that FERC was concerned with, which was public access to the strip of land, was dealt with. As far as due process is concerned, while we sympathize with the Duncan's Point residents, they were fully involved in this process, as the record demonstrates, every inch of the way. They were involved in site visits. Their filings were evaluated. Their arguments were evaluated in detail. They don't like the result that FERC reached on these two issues, but that doesn't mean they didn't get due process. Are there no further questions?
Give you 2 minutes, Mr. Brunson. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we have the interviewer.
Good morning, Your Honors. Charlie Zadepsky for the intervener, Amrin. May it please the court, thank you to Mr. Soper and to FERC and to the court for allowing me a few minutes to present the electric company's viewpoint here. Amrin is understanding of and cognizant of the petitioner's concerns and has tried to work with the petitioners to address those concerns. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem to Amrin that the petitioner's remedies lie with Amrin or FERC at this point, but rather with state property law issues or with the State Historic Preservation Society issues. Your Honors, I found all of this a little bit confusing, and I thought a moment of background might be helpful. This project has been operated in Western Missouri since 1926, so for over 80 years, Amrin has operated a project that involves 1,153 miles of shoreline. 93 miles upstream, the project was created by putting a dam on the Osage River, and that resulted in the reservoir and lake. There are thousands and thousands of docks, dock structures, seawalls, and other things like that. Amrin, by law under the Federal Power Act, is required to own all of the property to manage the project, and that goes to the 664-foot contour line, which means that Amrin owns, on a topographical map, up to 664 feet in elevation, which translates into about a 100-foot path around the edge of the waters. Counsel for the petitioner suggested that there are habitable structures going up on those project boundaries, and that's not the case. There's a fairly complicated process under Article 41 of Amrin's license, which is explained pretty well in a case that we had before the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit, which is at 297 F3rd 771. But Amrin is required to manage, with FERC supervision, what seawalls and dock structures go up, and it has done that. Here, Amrin was not found to have committed two violations, but one, which was not providing prior notice of the effluent discharge pipe, With regard to the dock, FERC suggested that it may impede access. And in fact, Ameren has done everything it could to mitigate any suggestion that access has been impeded. There's a graveling of the accessway. There's an installation of a courtesy dock and better facilitated access all along that.
Who owns the docks?
The docks, Your Honors, are owned by private landowners. The seawall is owned by the Pebble Creek Association, which is always the case with the docks around the development.
So you are conveying land to private developers?
No, Your Honor. No land is conveyed. It's a permit or license to install the dock, which is under Article 41B of the standard.
That's a form of a conveyance to me. If I can get a permit to build it and I run it, been conveyed something of value. All right. That's what I mean by conveyed.
And yes, Your Honor, that's exactly what Article 41 of the license requires. The license.
So the fight is, as I understand it, the conveyance of property to private developers who were not previously there, who are now in competition with for access to the beach, others who were there before to get access to that.
I think that is the fight, Your Honor. Although
I think the question that's being raised is if this is a electric development project, how and the authority of FERC is being used to enhance the property rights of competing private property holders. So you're saying you're confused. That's confusing too. See, it's not surprising to me that people might be annoyed that, well, wait a minute, FERC's in the business of electric power. But their authority is now being used to convey land, valuable land, to others who are now blocking our access. That's what's really going on here, right?
Well, you know, I would disagree with the court's categorization of it as a conveyance, but that is exactly the fight.
All right, well, let's put it this way. The giving of the right to use land to the exclusion of others.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, then call it whatever you will.
But Ameren does the same for the owners of the Duncan's Creek development and the same for other dock owners. It balances those interests under Article 41B all of the time and does not need to go back to FERC for consultation unless it...
Well, FERC had the concern that you weren't balancing them very well at the outset. That's why they blocked the wall.
Well, I mean,
it's very clear why this has started. You weren't balancing it very well. And I was trying to get a sense of just how much this is private versus private with the imprimatur of a federal agency, and that's what's going on. That's the problem here. It's with the imprimatur of a federal agency. There's advantage gained because the federal government is giving it.
Well, Your Honor, I think that's correct, but the advantage also goes to other owners, including owners of the Duncan's Creek development.
How do they get an advantage if you're going to put up a 2,200-foot wall, which would be what you would propose it to do?
Well, if they have a dock or a seawall, as some of them do, or a dock or a seawall around the other 1,153 shoreline.
Is it dredged first and then the seawall is put up?
There was a bit of dredging for the seawall, Your Honor, yes.
Right. And then a docks are run off. We're talking about how high is that? I've seen the photographs, but how far into the water does that go?
The seawall is about 3 feet high, Your Honor, is my understanding. So it's 300 feet long by about 3 feet high.
Right, and there's a walkway adjacent to it with slate and stones.
There's now a flagstone walkway that goes all along there with a couple of access points and park areas in mitigation.
And the purpose, what was the purpose of the seawall, to be able to run docks off of it?
Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, sure you
I would
it's
think
to
that.
Enhance the value of for the Pebble Beach property, or Pebble whatever property. Sure you do.
I don't, Your Honor.
That makes it much more attractive for those who are going to, to whom it's going to be conveyed. That's the only reason you do it. Because there was no response when FERC said stop at 300 feet. You didn't say, wait, we need this for electric power. It's to enhance the property for the competing private owners. That's what this fight is about. There's no question.
Well, I agree, Your Honor.
And the answer to Judge Randolph is the reason for the seawall is to make it nicer for other private owners who want it.
Well, I didn't want to speculate on that. That's not on the record, and
That's not a tricky question.
I don't know the answer to it.
Mine sounds reasonable, though, right?
Yours sounds reasonable.
Okay.
If what you're doing is making a judgment about whether to permit this or not, isn't one of the things you consider what's the purpose of it?
Yes.
You don't know.
Well, the purpose is considered, but what ends up happening is that the shoreline over there is overgrown with rocks and vegetation, and there may have been some access. I'm not sure that people would go through what was there in order to get in the lake. I mean, people...
What's the base? Is it mud?
It is muddy. There's overgrown vegetation and rocks there, Your Honor. Thank you. I see that my time is up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. 2 minutes, Mr.
Thank you, sir. The original stated reason for allowing the seawall was to prevent erosion. Now, the licensee sent a representative from that company out to investigate that, and this individual found no erosion at the which had been stated as the purpose by the developer for putting up the seawall.
Well, they're not disputing that. He had no answer. They're not disputing it. And FERC stopped it at 300 feet at the moment they got in. So you're on solid footing there. The question is, how does it affect the disposition of this case? But
okay.
They don't have an answer for that wall.
Right. Well, they've raised this issue about the roughage along the shoreline. Well, that was a great fishing area. And certainly the easement pipe the easement for the pipe is certainly not the only problem. It's the cocktail of pollutants that comes out of the pipe that the residents are concerned about. And we presented in our...
Pebble Creek has its own waste treatment facility, right?
That's correct, sir. Yeah. We presented a documented evidence from two experts indicating the potential damage to this particular cove, which was totally overlooked by the government, and
they had to get a permit from the local permitting authority, right?
That's true, sir.
And they got it.
They ultimately got it 2 years after they claimed they had it.
But they got it.
They got it ultimately. It is as far as the license is concerned. There was a request, as I understand it, for a rehearing, which was denied on that license. So, you know, there was an attempt, but that was denied.
Yeah, but it was dropped. There was no appeal taken from it.
Right.
That's the problem.
But in any event, it is our position that the decisions made were arbitrary and capricious. The evidence that was presented was overlooked. There was predetermination as to what the outcome was going to be. And as a result, this problem still exists.
But as FERC says, and I think if I'm understanding it, there are only two issues that we're faced with here, is whether or not they should have agreed with you and torn down the wall, and whether or not they should have avoided the pipe. That's it. That's all we're looking at, not the rest of the fight. The rest of the fight is yet to be had. That's all that's before us.
It may appear
that
way.
We can't regulate all of what goes on in Missouri or every other state.
Well,
we have to take what the agency has. The only thing the agency has acted on here are two things, and there are other complaints pending with respect to the use of the land. The only thing we have are the seawall, 300 feet of which was allowed with mitigation, and the piping.
Well, it's also the mitigation plan itself has not been prosecuted by the government. I mean, they came up with a mitigation plan, but they will not enforce it. It's difficult to have the government come in and then say that this is going to be fixed and they drop it. So that's
Thank
our position.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thanks.